Welcome to Six Again, your go-to rugby league podcast with hosts Adam Hoy and Jared Newton. Let's kick off.
Hello and welcome into the round 23 preview on the Six Again podcast. It is me, myself, and I, Adam. Jared is not with us. He is unfortunately in hospital with his things going on in his life. All good though. It's just going to be a checkup. He just can't be with us. And Wal will be on later tonight to help me look through the NRLW lists as well as the NRL lists for round 23 and round one for the NRLW. But it's going to be me just for the first part of the show. So stick with us. Hopefully I'll try and keep you entertained as best I can. And we're just going to go through top news stories of the week, and yeah, we'll kick off. So, celebration of Paul Green's life, details have come out for that. It will take place on Tuesday, August 30 at Wynnum Manly Leagues Club on Coogaree Oval. So the farewell will incorporate a funeral service between 11 a.m. and noon ahead of a wake memorial tribute between 12:30 and 1:15. Members of the community who wish to pay their respects can reserve their seats in the grandstand via the Eventbrite registration platform. There is a link on the NRL website. The service will be hosted by Father Michael Twigg and media presenters Pat Welsh and Jessica Yates. You can never say enough about what Paul Green brought to the rugby league community. And if you would like to pay your respects to Green and his family, please jump on the NRL, try book your ticket. Otherwise, it will be live streamed on qrl.com.au. Moving forward to 2022 grand final. So with all the negotiations that's been going on between the NRL and the New South Wales government, with them backing out of funding the stadiums that was promised, we already know that they've renegotiated down $200 million based on Peter Volandi's literally compensating for the first offer that the government agreed to. They have struck a one-year deal with the New South Wales government for the NRL Grand Final to remain in Sydney at a core stadium previously known as ANZ. It will be on October the 2nd. And the ARL Commission will now consider all options for future seasons, including rotating the showpiece event between the states. So that lock-in bid of the NRL Grand Final staying there for however long it was is no longer there. So Volandi said, "I want to point out the New South Wales government has given an additional investment, but this is only for 1 year. And I have to stress that it's not for the long term." So the New South Wales government, if they intend to keep the NRL grand final where it is, they need to renegotiate a long-term deal, one that they're not going to back out of, basically. We know the sort of grand final Queensland can put on. And Wal and I talked about this in our Crazy Concepts episode a fair while ago now. Why can't it go on the road each year, Super Bowl style? And whoever gives the best deal for the game gets the grand final. There is no downside to that, getting literally free money put into the game. If you have different governments, even stadiums betting against each other. So the opportunity to consider playing the grand final at Southern Sydney has arisen by the New South Wales backing out of an agreement to spend $800 million on stadium infrastructure. And yeah. This is what happens when you back out of a deal like that with Peter Vlandis, I guess. The reports on Wednesday at Suncorp Stadium was the more likely venue after an approach by Queensland Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk. However, Vlandis said New South Wales sportsman Alistair Henskins has played a pivotal role in convincing the RLC to stick with the core stadium for this year only. Very interesting story moving forward. So we'll see where it goes from there. There's no point looking back at the deal. We'll see if something does get renegotiated, but there's no point really looking into that right now. Some news out of both the QRL and New South Wales, NSWRL with regards to grand final days. So a Super Saturday will close out another QRL season, confirming a 4-match grand final day schedule. So it's always an awesome day of footy. If you've never watched the QRL grand finals, get on it. It's friggin' awesome, the games. And they put on really good programming. So it's going to be at Morton Daly Stadium on September 24th. It's my brother's birthday, so I might take him there for his birthday present. Kids, there you go, if you're listening. Headline the action at Morton Daly Stadium is the Host Plus Grand Final. So it'll be 3:15 p.m. It'll be broadcast live on Channel 9. Let's have a look here. So the Hastings Deering Colts Grand Final will be played beforehand. And then Queensland's young talent in both the boys and girls, City versus Country under 17 matches will be beforehand as well. So 4 games, tickets can be purchased from as little as $65 for a family of 4, with hospitality options available as well. So get on that if you are in and around the Moreton Bay region. So timing for that, gates open at 10, City vs Country Girls 10:10, City vs Country Boys 11:40, Hastings Deers Colts at 1:15, and Q Cup Grand Final at 3:15. The first 3 games are on KO and Q Plus TV. The 4th one is on Channel 9. For New South Wales, venues for the 2022 finals series for the for the New South Wales Cup and Jersey Flegg Cup have been announced. So the action will kick off on the 3rd of September at the $7 million St. Mary's League Stadium, which boasts a 720-seat grandstand and grand capacity of $7,000. Finals will include both games for the New South Wales Cup and 1 match for the Jersey Flegg Cup, and the other Jersey Flegg Cup final will be played at Nestrada Jubilee Stadium on Sunday, the 4th of September. The second week of the finals will see 4 semi-finals of the knock-on of the New South Wales of the New South Wales Cup and Jersey Flegg Cup all played at Jubilee Stadium before the action shifts to Leichhardt Oval for the prelim finals for both competitions on Saturday, the 17th of September. And the grand finals for Jersey Flegg and the New South Wales Cup will be held at Combank Stadium on Sunday, the 25th of September. So we went through the whole finals system just then, with the grand final being a day after the Q Cup grand final. So I just want to clarify that one. Yeah, cool. St. Mary's into Jubilee, into Leichhardt, into Combank Stadium. If you want a complete rundown of the entire final series for the New South Wales Cup, jump on NRL.com. All right, Trent Barrett has landed his next job. He's been announced as the NRL assistant coach for 2 years, starting from 2023 for Parramatta. So Brad Arthur has said Trent has a wealth of football experience over the last 3 decades as a player and coach, and they're sure that he will bring significant enhancements to their footballing department. Well, I think so far with Barrett's coaching career, he's been much more successful as an assistant than a head coach. We'll see if that continues at Parramatta, especially if they don't get across the line this year with taking that next step. It'd be interesting to see if he can get Dylan Brown and Mitch Moses in particular to the next level. I don't know. As a Parramatta fan, I would be filled with confidence based on Barrett's last coaching performance and what the Bulldogs have done since he's left. But who knows, things can change between now and the start of 2023. And we're going to finish with some NRL signings. Xavier Savage is set to remain in Canberra until the end of 2025 after signing a new 2-year contract extension with the Raiders. Royce Hunt has signed a contract extension, ties him to the Sharks till the end of 2023 as well. And Talatau Mone signed a contract extension with the Dragons till the end of 2024. I believe all the rest have been covered. Raiders have released Harry Rushton for the remainder of his contract, returned to England effective immediately. Hadn't mentioned that one the other day. Yeah, that is all of them. Yeah, cool. All right, join us in the second half of the show where Wally will join me and we will look at all the NRLW and NRL lists for the coming weekend's games. All righty, join us for the second half of the show. We have Wall in the absence of Jared. How are we going, buddy, after a big weekend last weekend on the punt for you?
Yeah, it's I'm a man in form at the moment. Hopefully it flows on into this week. But, yeah, I was just bragging to Adam before that my betting account's looking pretty good at the moment. So
it's looking better than my savings account.
It's the perks of living at home in your late 20s, mate. You've got money to bet with.
There goes hand in hand with being a Dragon supporter.
Yeah, that's it. It's late 20s. I didn't say my actual age. I'll let people use their own imagination there.
No, I still say I'm in my early 30s, so there we go. For at least another, 2 months maybe-ish. And here I'm like chatting about the Dragons with everything going on at Manly. Ugh. But anyway.
Yeah.
As I mentioned earlier in the show, first round of the scheduled NRLW season. And we're going to kick off with those team lists, some players to watch, and new team captains. So remember, it's a 6-team comp. Parramatta Titans, St. George, reigning premiers, Roosters, the Knights, and the Broncos. So just running through the captains here. So for the Broncos, we've got Ali Brigginshaw. No surprise there. Maroons and Australians captain. Just want to double check that. St. George Illawarra, Kezie Apps. You got to be stoked about that one. What a woman.
Yeah.
Right. Absolute beast of a player. 8 games for New South Wales, 11 tests for Australia, and captain the Blues this year to their win over the Maroons. Parramatta, Tiana Penatani and Samaya Tafua. So you're going co-captains. Experienced pair put in charge of leading the most inexperienced squad in the competition. And they have a potential 13 NRLW debutants this year. So that will be, they kind of sound like Newcastle from earlier this year. Mm. Newcastle has been the club who have signed the most players, free agents. And Millie Boyle and Hannah Southwell have been two of those. And they will co-captain the Knights in 2022. Roosters have a new captain. So Corbin Baxter is off with pregnancy, Jesus. She's pregnant. She's off on maternity leave. So Isabel Kelly steps into the captain role. Yeah, enough said there.
Look at it. No, that's an obvious choice, man. Like, the way she finished last season was ridiculous. Like, Jesus, an absolute weapon.
Yeah. Captain. Isabel Kelly, yep. So Titans, Brittany Brayley Nartai. So she captained the Titans in the inaugural campaign. Pretty exciting campaign for the Titans. So they'll be looking to go one better. They got into the finals last year. So probably looking for at least one more win this season. So up on NRL.com at the moment, they do have a list of fresh faces to watch in 2022. And I want to highlight two of them. There is 11 or so on the list, but Jada Taylor. So she became famous in the NRL or in the rugby league world for her massive 109-meter try in the under-19s Origin game. You might remember she fielded a grubby kick in her own in-goal, stepped, evaded 3-4 Maroons players before running the entire length to score the try. So she's been picked up by the Roosters. She's likely to play as a backup in the halves to the likes of Sammy Bremner and Zahara Tamara and Racine McGregor. So she was playing fullback, I believe, in the under-19s. Yeah, but is a half. So someone to keep an eye out on if you're a Roosters fan. This one here, where is she? I just want to find out. Jessie Southwell for the Knights. So she's 18 years old. She has been granted an exemption by the NRL to make her NRLW debut. Sorry, she'll make her debut younger than 18 years old. And she's just come off the back of Commonwealth Games success with the Australian Rugby Sevens side. So she's a young playmaker who will make her debut as halfback on the weekend. So Newcastle Knights fans not only recruited extremely well with experienced players, but have this youngster here to look forward to. I'm just anyone from the Dragons, if you have you kept up
I
on
think
anything?
Andy Robinson and Mona Lisa Soliola, I think, were two that were on that list. Both played in the under 19s for
Yes,
New
there she
South
is.
Wales. And Andy Robinson scored a hat trick. She's debuting on the wing this week for us. And I think I think it's Mona Lisa Soliola. She is the niece of Isaiah Soliola. So pretty good bloodlines there. I know I listened to
Yeah, there it is.
I think Jamie Soward was on the Fox League podcast, and he had big reviews about her. So exciting times.
So she started, Sissa Soliola started pre-season training before she was 18, and looks as though she'll be playing off the bench, but looking to bring plenty of firepower, it says here. One of 10 children in her family and is also a goal kicker. So
And
doesn't.
you know what that means, right? She's competitive
She's
as
competitive.
all
That has to be. I just I've got
hell.
one of the things Andy Robinson has in common with a lot of the new players this season is they've come from different backgrounds. So we just mentioned Southwell for the Knights coming from rugby sevens. Andy Robinson was a former Australian Oztag representative as well as a New South Wales rugby sevens representative. And we've got an AFL convert this year for the first time. Coming in, I'm just trying to find. Here she is, Brooke Walker for the Eels. So she represented Victoria at the National Championships, playing 5'8". She's also played rugby sevens with Emma Tonegado, Tiana Panattoni, and she, like I said, has played AFLW before as well. So it's funny to me that in the men's game. The rugby league players have been the ones going to try other codes. Rugby, AFL as well for Carmichael Hunt, Israel Folau at a stage. The ones that have been coming back recently are coming from the rugby sevens program. There hasn't been anyone that I can think of that's come straight from rugby itself after they've already made it, if that makes sense. But in the women's game, there's an influx of athletes from a whole bunch of different codes. And,
It's just a sign that of how well the NRLW is being run, right? Like
Yes.
they're being smart with how they're branching it out. Like the AFLW probably got in first, and you see they've expanded out to 16 clubs, I think, this year. But I think the approach that the NRLW's taken is smart, and they've got a goal to get to 10 clubs by 2025, I think. But they know that it's not just going to happen overnight, and they can just bring in four additional clubs. And like we've spoken before about the like the development carnivals and stuff like that they had a couple of months ago, and
National
all those
championships
things,
and yeah.
that's right. And like you had scouts going to that, and you had people from those carnivals then getting invited to train with these squads. So everything's in place there. And Peter Volandis and Abdo are very big supporters of it
Yeah.
as well. They want to make it, well, I think it's probably quality wise the best female code
Oh
in
yeah.
Australia.
Yeah. I was going to say that if you
Definitely
hadn't brought it
quality
up, that was going
wise.
to be my big point.
But like they want to make sure that people, well, not people, but the players are, then getting the right remuneration for it, and they are being looked after as full-time athletes as they should be.
It's already having an impact. I 100% agree. It's the best product of women professional sport in Australia in the footballing codes. I do love how netball's been run, but it's gone through a number of changes in not a long time period over the last few years. AFLW is the first of the big sports, I guess, to start a league for the women. And One of the guys I work with is a mad AFL fan, and he's like, it's hard to watch at times because the skill level difference is big, and you get a lot of low-scoring games. With the NRLW, even if it is a low-scoring game because of the style of the sport, it's still really entertaining. And I think the NRL at times is so saturated by rules and media influence and that sort of stuff, you lose sight of the game itself. When you watch the NRLW, I don't know, because the spotlight isn't fully on it, there is no real critique of the referees, and I feel as though their refereeing in that is more consistent and more accurate than in the big league.
They can relax, right? They can go out there and just do their job, right? Yeah. Like, they're not going to be abused by a million people on social media for getting a decision wrong. And because I'll be honest, like, I probably didn't watch all that much NRLW in the first couple of seasons. Probably because the Dragons were struggling, and like, the only, really, to be fair, the only real women's rugby league I watched was State of Origin, which I did always enjoy, but I really got into it last year, and this is making me sound like a bandwagon supporter, but I was just blown away by the quality and how much I actually enjoyed sitting there watching it. Like, it's a lot more unstructured, it's just physical, and they just play footy, and it's simple, but like, it's not a knock on the game. It's just, they just play what they see, and they leave everything out there, and that's how footy should be.
Yes, and it's up. Like, I don't have a team in it, and four of the teams in there are like my most hated teams. In rugby league, in the Roosters, the Knights, the Eels, and the Broncos. So I'm like, that leaves me the Dragons and the Titans. Yeah. So I'm like, that's what
I thought you were gonna include the Dragons in there because we always beat you.
I was like, we've never, like, in my lifetime, we've never had that rivalry. Whereas Knights are just up the road. All my mates are Broncos supporters, pretty much. So there's a rivalry there, and they belted us in Broncos' first ever game, and Roosters, we've had some grand final and finals games in the recent history. So I just, and the Roosters had that awesome team growing up with Fitzgibbon and Fittler and all that. I just hate them. Anyway, and Eels are Eels. So yeah, I wouldn't say I'm a fan of the Dragons, but I don't hate them. So they come second to me in the NRLW behind the Titans. But also, they're already having an impact. My daughter's three, and we've been down to, I've taken her to two rugby league games now, NRL games, and we've watched the NRLW on TV. And anytime there's a game of footy on, even if it's union or anything that resembles rugby league, she's like, Manly or Cowgirls. And she's excited about the game. And half of that's from going there themselves, but the other half's about watching the girls on the TV. And she really sits down and watches it every now and then. So who knows?
But like, that's, this weekend, there's a double header, right? The Dragons women play Titans before the men's do. And I'll be sitting there just as excited for that first game than as I am for the second game.
Yeah, how good is that as well? Having the double header, but the same teams. They did a couple of double headers last year, and it was a different opposition, but a double Dragons Titans game. Where's it been played? Which home ground are you at
Cogra? I believe it's Cogra.
Oh, sweet as. So that's,
I would have preferred Wynn Stadium because you got a good record there this year, but
no, it is. It's at Wynn Stadium.
Is Dragons, it Wynn?
Titans. Okay. Well, the women's are at Wynn Stadium. 12 PM.
Yeah, no, so it's double header. Yeah, right. Yeah. Fuck. Maybe I should change my tip back to the Dragons.
There we go. So we'll go through team lifts. So the Eels versus Roosters kick it off. Saturday 1 PM at Combank Stadium. I'm gonna have a look there. I wonder if that's a doubleheader, though, because I haven't looked that far ahead. Was it Saturday? Didn't I say? Well, it's a doubleheader. It's against and then the men are at Bulldogs, 3 PM. Eels versus Bulldogs. So that's a doubleheader there as well. Brilliant. So I'm just jumping between different screens here. So for the Eels, former New Zealand 7-star Gail Broughton is the new fullback. So she came in for Batilvet Welsh, who had the ACL injury. AFLW convert we talked about before, Brooke Walker gets her first shot at number six, while off-season signing Vanessa Foliaki and co-captain Samaya Tafua both start in the forward pack. For the Roosters, veteran fullback Sammy Bremner is back after a couple of years out due to pregnancy. Join a talented backline, which of course includes Jess Surges and Isabel Kelly. And Kala Sapani Hopawadi will play a first NRLW game off the bench after making a test debut for Tonga earlier this season. So if you have a look, that's not even mentioning Racine McGregor and Zahara Tamara in the halves for the Roosters. You've got Destiny Brill at dummy half, Keely Joseph at hooker. And then for the Eels, I'm just having a look through here. Tiana Penatani in the centres. We already mentioned Foliaka, Tafua. Oh, and Kennedy Charrington, there she is, coming off the interchange as well. In this one, to me, Roosters, even though there's been so much turnover of players, Roosters, they just have too much firepower, especially in that back line. It's going to, if the forwards can get any early stock in this game, they're going to spin it wide pretty quickly and just let McGregor, Tamara, Kelly, Surges, Bremner just do their thing.
Yeah. I think the signing of Sam Bremner is just like they've lost Corbin out the back, and to replace it with someone of the quality of Sam Bremner, like, part of me is broken as a Dragons fan seeing her play for the bitter rivals, but Parramatta were probably the biggest disappointments last season. They had a pretty strong team,
and they've got a weaker team this time.
Yeah, I think in the key positions, the Roosters have just got them covered, I think.
Yeah. Going on to Dragons Titans, so 12 PM at Wynn Stadium. I wonder if I should probably check this before the podcast, if I was professional and all that. I wonder if they're all going to be double headers. We'll see. So Dragons versus Titans, 12 PM, shocking kickoff time. But hopefully a bit of ocean breeze down there. So for the Dragons, a pretty familiar lineup for last year. 13 players out of last year's grand final squad of 17. No room for new recruit Chantel Stowers at this stage. She could be a late inclusion from the reserves. Though Annie Robinson, as Wald mentioned earlier, make her NRLW debut on the wing. For the Titans, the NRLW's reigning top try scorer, Maddie Bartlett and Appy Nichols are the new additions to a very exciting-looking backline. Rhoda Peters is set to come off the bench after coming across from the Roosters, but there is no room for veteran forward Annette Brander, who's listed in the reserves. So for the Titans, you've also got Kimora Brailey-Nati in at number six, replacing their number six from last year. Where is she? Oh, she's not even in the reserves there. And you've also got to think Hagiga Mosby, who they signed from the Broncos, who was a breakout star for them, jumped across the Titans. She's also in the reserves because in their back line, you've got Karina Brown, one wing, Maddie Bartlett on the other, Ivani Politi, Olympic gold medalist, Jasmine Peters, and then Lauren Brown in a dummy half. It's a pretty stacked back line. And then you look across at the Dragons, they're going to be stacked in themselves. Tonegado, Berry, Brown, Robinson, Talia Fuimeono, and Rachel Pearson off the back of her State of Origin debut earlier in the year. Just looking at that back line, it's going to be a cracker without even mentioning the forwards. Kezzy Apps, Keely Davis, Elsie Albert after the season she had, taking on Brayley Nardi, Shannon Marto, Seth Hancock, Tasman Gray. This is going to be a good game.
Yeah. It's going to be really interesting to see how it works, right? Because there's a really short preseason. I think I heard there's like 5 week preseason they've essentially had. So the teams that probably keep those core players will probably hit the ground running more. So you might find your Newcastles might take a couple of weeks to gel because they've had so much turnover.
A good point.
Yeah, but bit wary of this game. Like the Titans troubled us both times last year, and we ended up winning, but we've lost a bit of strike out wide with like Chapman's gone to Brisbane and Matty Bartlett's playing for the Titans this year. So yeah, obviously it's pretty exciting bringing Andy Robinson in. We'll see what he's capable of in the 19s, but got to tip the Dragons, mate. You know, we've kept the same spine, together, and I think you know, you can't doubt a team with Tonegado out the back.
That's right. I think she could be the deciding thing. So I'm even looking at the interchange here. You've got Quincy Dodd for St George, and then you got, like you said, mentioned earlier, Mona Lisa Soliola and Tara McGrath West, and then you've got Titans, Rona Peters, Tiana Rastran Smith on the bench. Like, these are two pretty strong sides. I think both overall, minus bloody week one, but they look like two of the strongest squads. I think this will probably be the closest game of the round.
I think the what probably goes in our favour is when Quincy Dodd comes on the field. She just slots into that hooker role, and then Keely Davis, I want to say.
She pushes into that
middle role and just absolutely kills it. Like, it's just a great 1-2 punch they've got there. And like Jamie Soward refers to them as the two best hookers in the game. So, that there excites me, I think.
I'll go Titans just to be different to you. But this is probably the NRLW game looking forward to the most of the weekend. Knights versus Broncos. Now, from cellar dwellers to, I'd say most anticipated team of this season in the Knights. I agree with Wall, it's going to take a couple of weeks to gel, which in such a short season may hurt their chances later on. But the other side of that, you look at the players that they brought in, and they're not rookies, and they're as close to professional athletes without actually the title of professional athletes until they're doing it for a job. But you could almost have an entire paragraph of what the Knights have done. So we mentioned Jessie Southwell earlier. She'll be partnering Kira Dibb in the halves, who's named in the number 7 jersey. Now, this is how deep they've signed. So you have World Cup winner Caitlin Moran, who's listed as a replacement. Okay. Southwell's older sister, Hannah, we know. 16 NRLW appearances to her name. She starts at lock. Tamika Upton's at fullback. Millie Boyle will debut at prop. Which pushes, where's Teitzel? Oh, she's playing second row.
Yeah.
Bloody hell. So the Knights fullback from last year, who had a cracking season for a debut, she's moved into second row. So Upton can play fullback. You've got Bobby Law, Shanice Parker in the centres, Takarangi, Stephen Staley on the wings with Kira Dibb and Southwell. And then the forwards, Caitlin Johnson and Millie Boyle, Yasmin Clydesdale, Hannah Southwell. It's the changeover and the difference from last year's team to this year's team is incredible. And you look at the Broncos, who have been the heavyweights of the NRLW in its first few seasons. They've been in one way chopped to pieces with the losses and then turned around and filled them with players who had the chance to step into that same category. So you got Jamie Chapman coming in for Tamika Upton. We got the wings, Julia Robinson, Emily Bass. Did Emily Bass come from the Dragons as well?
Nah, I don't think so.
Oh, she Broncos is right. Okay. Taryn Aitken and Ali Brigginshaw, still the go-to halves pairing in the competition, in my opinion. Lana Doozy in the forwards, looking to continue her awesome form from last season. But you're looking through and there is some big names missing from this Broncos squad that you usually see in there. Who knows?
I feel like this feels like it's going to be an ambush, right? Everyone's talking up Newcastle.
Yeah.
And there's no talk about Brisbane this year. It's all about, you know, the grand final last year was Roosters and Dragons, and they've kept the majority of their squads. Newcastle's a big up, like big improvers. Titans are exciting. The Broncos are just cruising under the radar, which very Queensland.
Been there, done that. Yeah.
I tell you what, mate. my early tip, Jamie Chapman will win the Dally M. She is a freak. I'm purely lost her. She was an absolute, obviously we saw what she did in the Indigenous All-Stars game at the start of the year. And I think she was man of the match in that. And she had a couple of concussions playing for us last season, but she has just got this burst of acceleration and she's tall. She's got the long strides. Like seeing her at fullback, that's going to be a sight to see. I think she's going to cause a lot of damage this year.
Yeah. Oh, I'm signed on to that theory. I think if you want to play Newcastle, it's in the first 2 weeks before all these girls gel. Because we saw what Millie Boyle and Tamika Upton can do by themselves for the Broncos last year. I just love how sport works, that they match up against their former club first up. I'm with you on this. I'm going the Broncos.
It's almost like it was planned, Adam.
Almost.
Like it was planned.
Who would have thunk? Let's have a look. So that's 6, 7 p.m. on Sunday at McDonald Jones. So when are the Knights? So
that'll be a doubleheader. Yeah, they play Canberra on the other.
Yeah, there we go. Oh, did the NRL actually do something that makes sense with their scheduling? Who would have? Oh, no, there we go. Knights are at 4:05. So the women are the second game. 6:10.
Night game. Oh, yeah. That's probably fair. I think
that is fair. You got Knights Canberra at 4:05 and then the women at 6:10. That's brilliant. Hell yes.
That'll be really good too, because like you'd imagine the majority of the Knights fans, and Knights fans are loyal.
Yeah.
Like, they'll turn up.
They'll stick around.
They'll be excited too about the recruits and everything. And yeah, no, that's good.
That's cracking. All right.
And
so,
you know, they're gonna get televised as well. So there you go, laughing.
Oh, there we are. I didn't even talk about the Broncos in here. So Kiwi Ferns prop Aneta Nuasala. She's a surprise omission despite being their Knights NRLW Player of the Year. She was signed, but she's not even on the reserves for the Broncos. We already talked about Jamie Chapman. Nita Maynard is in straight away in the spine, and Crystal Tamura is named off the bench. So, there's Nita Maynard there at dummy half, who I skimmed over. My bad. All right, we'll have a quick break there, but I think we're both going Roosters. You're going Dragons. I'm going Titans. And we're both going Broncos, I think.
Correct.
Although, taking all the away teams in the first round for me. All right, we'll have a quick break and we'll come back and do NRL list for round 23.
There's a lot of fines lost.
Yes, there was a lot of fines. No suspensions. There we go. That's what Jeff. You're way better looking than Jared. That's what Wal was going to say. So we will cover injuries. So Seagulls have lost Ruben Garrick for their final three matches due to a shoulder injury. That combines with Jake Dubojevic, broken hand, and Jason Saab ACL being ruled out for the rest of the season. Oh joy, oh joy. Let's not talk about the Rabbits and Penrith because they're already playing right now as we're recording. Mitch Moses is back for Parramatta. Matt Moylan is back, as is Connor Tracy for the Sharks. Toby Rudolph suffered an MCL injury. We talked about that. He's out for 4 weeks. Dave Clemmer is back for the Knights, but they'll be a bit without Best and Tuala. And Dean Irema will miss the remainder of the season due to a hamstring injury, while Marion Seve is also sidelined with a hamstring complaint, hoping to have him back for round 25. So Manly, the biggest team hit there. Sharks get a couple back. The way that they've been
Melbourne
playing.
There's a couple more.
Yeah, well, they were. Irema hadn't been playing consistently anyway.
I think he got dropped. And then Seve's been playing really well
for them. Yeah, Seve has been. But they got that speedster roll them out there. Bloody hell, he turned on the pace last week.
Bloody earth, yeah. He was close to best on the field.
That's so good to watch. Rabbitohs are playing right now against Penrith. They kicked off round 23. As we're recording, Penrith are up 20-12. I believe we both tipped Rabbitohs in this one.
Correct, yep.
Yeah, so the Rabbitohs were 1-17. Lachlan Ilias was back, as was Campbell Graham, and that was, I wouldn't say that's what swayed me. That was that may actually be more confident in my pick in the Rabbits. But as it stands, Penrith have got out to a pretty quick start, and Rabbitohs are trying to toy them. I think it was 12 all at halftime, and Penrith are up 8-0 in the second half.
Just on another note, I need Kalau Matangi to score, and I'll win another $150.
There we go. Anyway, so this was not in Nick's picks. This is in Nick's.
No.
This is the adults only Nick's picks that you guys don't hear about. The one where he's
these are the ones I keep. These are the ones I keep for my real friends.
That's it. That's it. Not for our listeners here to help them make money. They're in the red just like we are. And on that. Because we're professionals at this and we keep track of all of our data, we've made up some new figures for our betting account. So Wall's on 120, I'm on 140, and Jared's on 60. So that's what we're going with from now on.
Yeah.
I think either way, Jared and I are up from last year because Jared's still alive after round 12. So he's 1 week away from doubling his stint from last year. So.
Yeah, I've been saved by back to back wins. So I was down to $30. I think.
Yeah, you were. You were. It was almost like a tank. Wanting to get better odds next year or something. So let's have a look. Cowboys up against the Warriors. So Cowboys were in no way you can put a line through them after last week against the Roosters. Roosters are rolling into form, and Cowboys played well enough to beat most other teams last week, I thought. It was an extremely emotional week for them. We've talked about that with Paul Green, and they're back at home. They're going to have the home crowd behind them. I think this is going to be more the week of do it for Greeny. Even though the Warriors had an awesome week for them and their club last week, they've literally gone from Auckland to Townsville, the second longest trip you can make without including Perth. And I can't see anything.
Their last trip to Queensland wasn't good either. They got absolutely flogged by the by South. So
I think
I'd be expecting the Cowboys to click into gear because I think the last month I reckon they've just been cruising and they had a pretty weak draw. They didn't just knock us off, but like it took them 60 minutes to put us away, and a couple other games that they just sort of coasted through. Like they got away with the West game, and it just feels like maybe they've just been waiting to hit their peak at the right time, I think. And what better way to do that than a training run against the Warriors?
Yeah, there were some shocking stats out of the Cowboys forwards last week. I think Cohen Hess ran for 5 meters. Or 15 meters or something like that. Nanai was kept to 37 or like four of their, four like of their seven starters. Tackles. Yeah, four of their starters were kept to under 50 meters. And it may have brought about a change. So you see Luciano Leilua is starting this week in the second row. He's been playing prop for them coming off the bench the last few weeks or the first few weeks that he's had at the club. Cohen Hess is back to the bench. And Jermaine Tanua-Brown comes onto the interchange off the reserves. So the bench is Fidow, Cohen Hess, Griffin Neem, and Tanua-Brown. So how Hess has been utilised, you've pretty much got three props and a winger or outside back on the bench with Tom Gilbert out. So it's a massive
Tom Gilbert
bench.
Out, is he?
Yeah, he'll miss the game for family reasons, hence why Tanua Brown came in and then Leilua went into the second row. Veteran winger Kyle Felt returns after missing two games, so Fidow reverts to the bench. This is brilliant. Fox Sports hasn't updated it, so they've literally said Tom Gilbert will miss the game for family reasons, replaced in the starting squad by Leilua, and Jermaine Tanua Brown added to the bench. Felt returns, pushes Fidow to the bench, and Jermaine Tanua-Brown goes to 18th man after they've just mentioned that he's on the bench. So, for clarity, Tanua-Brown is on the bench, not the reserves. 18th man is Jake Granville. Oh, it's friggin' brilliant.
Fox Sports.
Imagine that, though. You've gone from Nanai Gilbert Tamalolo to Nanai Leilua Tamalolo. And
no, Leilua's been good, eh? He's been really good since he's gone up there.
And that's the depth that you need if you want to go far in the finals, not just make the finals. The Warriors, what a week it was for them last week. The first real big win. Roger Shuey Vasashek reinstated. is brilliant. Dejan Arce starting 5'8". Edward Cosi on the wing. He's having a good year in a year to forget for the Warriors. Viliami Valia, one of their youngsters now and into the future, getting another start back from injury. Melbourne Storm recruit Lisa Katoa is there on the interchange. But I can't see anything but a Cowboys win here. It would be extremely disappointing if they lost, even if the Warriors did put up a good game, a good performance.
You feel like it's the Cowboys would just have to rock up with the wrong attitude to lose this.
Yes, that's exactly what it feels
like.
Which,
I mean, how often have you seen it this year, though? Like, you saw, like, Parramatta playing.
From the Cowboys? Not much.
No, but I mean from, like, a lot of teams this year. Like, you've seen, like, Parramatta turn up against the Bulldogs when they were coming last, like they'd touch them up just by rocking up and lost by 30. So, crazy things have happened. But, yeah, this would be a big shock, I think.
Yes. So, that's the first game on Friday night. Second one, Broncos versus Storm. So, Kobe Hetherington's been named to start despite suffering a head knock in round 22. If he's ruled out, Xavier Wilson or Zach Hosking could come in. So, Zach Hosking signed with
Penrith.
Penrith, yeah, that's right. We'll be battling out with Garner for that secondary position. For the Storm, Jerome Hughes is back and expected to play. Kafusi is still on leave after the passing of his father. Not a good year for rugby league in that sense. So I should have brought up the odds for that first game. So from memory, the Cowboys were like $1.12
and $6.50, like, I think, for Warriors.
$6.50 from memory. Okay. Yeah, it'd be. I'm not surprised there. $7 for that one. And this one, Broncos are $2.60 outsiders to the Storm $1.50. Looking at this Storm backline now, young Tonumapia in on the starting position after 2 weeks coming off the bench, with Olam, Xavier Coates and Norfoluma on the wing with Nick Meaney at fullback, Munster and Hughes. This will be the strongest backline that the Storm will be able to take into the finals with Tonumapia and Murray and Seve interchangeable. The rest are pretty much locked down their positions. For the Broncos, a very well-functioning backline in their own sense. Cobbo, Oates on the wings have been outstanding lately. Staggs, Hoyta, Ma'am Reynolds and Martin. In the forwards, not a hell of a lot to spit at. The battle of Payne Haas and Nelson Asafa Solomon is going to be brilliant. You got two pretty much hard-working back row, Eisenhuth and Bromwich, up against a ball playing of Catewell and a little bit of X-Factor in Ricky. I don't think he's hit his ceiling yet.
No.
I don't know. This has the potential to be match of the round. If you have a look at where they are on the ladder, it should be match of the round. You've got fourth versus sixth, only separated by the 2 points. So a fair amount to play for here. Even if the Storm do lose, Broncos win, Storm will still stay in fourth position, even if the Rabbitohs win as well, just on for and against. But if Storm win this one, it'll put pressure on the Sharks to ensure they continue to win. So a lot on the line for both teams here. Storm.
Yes. Yep.
The form of Munster lately is incredible. And I think he's shown just over the last 3 weeks why I believe he's ahead above any other 5'8 in the league.
And he's doing it at fullback.
Yeah, he's doing it for... True. No, to him, it's like almost the same position.
You forgot how good he was at fullback, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
Because he's played 5'8 for so long. And, you know, they've had so many good fullbacks around him. They've had Slater, they've had Pappenhausen, all these guys. play there so that you just sort of forgot that Munster played fullback for a while. And
he could slot back there next week for the rest of the season, and he's already in the top three fullbacks in the league, just based on his pure talent.
It's a bit like Joey Manu in a way, like, you know, they play out an edge and sometimes they can just stay there and not get the ball, and going into fullback just forces them to follow the ball. And I think at the moment, like, it's just been a blessing in disguise because the Storm looks so lost. And now Munster's is popping up all over the field and just threatening with his running game. He's running first, not thinking of passing or kicking. And I think that's where they're really getting the benefit, because then, you know, it's got Brandon Smith going as well. And like that last week's the best game they've played for a long time.
And you've got Hughes back now to control things. Oh, I reckon the message is just going to be the same.
Hughes and Munster popping up off each other, that's going to be very.
Do I give it to me on the inside? Do I give it to Munster on the outside, or vice versa? Yeah. Do I dummy and go myself? And Hughes has to set this speed.
So, a fast Suncorp Stadium. I think they could rack up a big score on Brisbane. Brisbane the last couple of weeks, like they weren't good last week against the Knights. They've been average for a few weeks. And maybe it's just the cynic in me wanting to see them fail, but I think they're on a downward trajectory. I think the season's probably catching up with them.
It's this part of the season that they signed Catewell and Reynolds for. They've got them in the finals hunt, and now it starts to kick in. Do they keep up with the big boys, or do they drop back to the bottom of the eight? This is what they were brought in for, that experience that there wasn't any of in the Broncos. And there is whispers around, maybe more than whispers, of Munster looking at a four-year deal with the Dolphins. So interesting to see when or if that drops, I should say. All right, first game on the Saturday, we've got Parramatta versus the Bulldogs, and Parramatta $1.35, Bulldogs $3.25, looking to fight back after a pretty dismal performance across the ditch against the Warriors last week. Parramatta coming off a loss to the Rabbitohs, yes?
Yeah, they got pumped. Do you want an update on the Rabbits Penrith game?
Sure.
22-20 Rabbits.
Hell yeah.
With 10 minutes to go.
There we go.
Alex Johnson's got a double.
All right. And talking about almost guaranteed try scorers, this game's got my Nick's picks from Adam of the week, whatever that means. I've gone with Parramatta to win, into Dylan Brown, anytime try scorer, into Mike Acevo, first try scorer. So that's $20 on the dot, on the nose, I should say. So I'll put a tenner on that. Obviously, the thing, if you drop Sivo to any time try score, it kind of takes a big chunk out of that, but risk it for the biscuit, eh? I'm doing that one. So based off that, I'm going Parramatta to win. I don't think they'll have it their own way the whole way. They'll be coming out firing after being embarrassed last week. But so are the Bulldogs, and they were in good enough form leading into last week that they can put points on. So if they do get points on, Eels are going to have to find their mojo pretty damn quick, but they've got Moses back, and I think they really we really saw last week how much they, I think they underestimated how much of an impact he has, and I think Dylan Brown still played well enough last week, but he was under that also trying to do everything based off the week before with him and Jake Arthur having their way with Manly, and Jake Arthur played really well. They came up against a team in form going into the finals, and
fell apart. I didn't see the game, but from hearing my dad talk about it, he basically said that Parra weren't there physically, which
would have given
Dylan Brown and Jacob Arthur would have had nothing to play off.
No.
And it just sounds like it was Parramatta were just pretty much trotted to Dylan Brown and Sean Lane and hoping they came up with something.
And Sean Lane poked his head through again a couple of times, got his arm away for a couple of offloads. He's been their best forward the last 3 or 4 weeks. Paulo got dominated. He's been that player most of his career. He goes missing every third week or fourth, and it's generally in bigger matchups. That's just my opinion of him. But anyway, you continue to look through this Parramatta squad, and we see the talent, and we see them put together the talent. And when they do, they're incredible. They've beaten Penrith twice. They've beaten Melbourne away. We know what they can do. They also lost the Bulldog. When the Bulldogs hadn't won in freaking however long. So Bulldogs will take that confidence into this one. If Parramatta want to be serious this year.
Yeah, this game's going to show us where they're at, I think. They haven't lost back-to-back games all year, and that might be me putting the mocker on them. But, it's now or never, really. They've got these guys, Storm and Brisbane, on the way home.
Yeah. Roosters are 2 points behind them, Roosters have got the Tigers. And Raiders are 4 points behind, and Raiders have the Knights. So if they do lose this one, they'll be eighth based on for and against, and then you'll have the Raiders only 2 points behind and with an easier run home.
Yep.
So your Eels are versing the team coming 12th. Roosters are versing the team coming 16th. You'd assume Roosters will win, so these guys have to win.
Yeah, I think Parra will be up for this. Just purely, they got embarrassed by them last time, and bitter rivals. They won't want that happening again.
All right. Seagulls versus Sharks. Oof. I wasn't on the show last show, but I screenshot the Manly lineup and said if I was management at Manly, I'd be tapping Hazler on the shoulder and saying, "Can you give me a please explain?" It was Parker and Harper in the centers with Cooler on the wing. Like, what the? Are they serious?
Maybe it was Des Hasler just giving an FU back to management for making him answer the press conference for the Pride jersey debacle.
It was swallow your pride, man. Like, I love my club, but, and I said it then, I've been consistent since then. Trbojevic went down. That was the season. Scrap it. Start looking at 2023. Develop the young guys, get them ready as best you can for next year, and then taking your best outside back, despite him being the rookie this year, put him on the freaking wing. I'm almost glad Garrett got injured because now Cooler's back at fullback and Alfred Smalley has come on the wing. I should have rephrased by saying wings or centres. Cooler's been the best of that lot. So now for Manly, you've got Cooler at fullback, Tui Pulotu and Alfred Smalley on the other wing, who made his debut in the famous Unmagnificent Seven game. Parker and Harper in the centres. Foran, Cherry Evans on the worst run of form he's had in a long time, the last three games.
Yeah.
You've got Andrew Dylan Walker starting at lock because Jake Trbojevic has a broken hand. The only upside out of all this is Bullimore's in the 17 because he freaking deserves to be there.
The only thing that like gives me hope for you guys to win is Sharks have a terrible record against you guys.
Yeah, and that's it. But I think under Fitzgibbon, they belted us down in Cronulla, and I think the Sharks have shown that they're a flexible team. They can win in a grind. They can blow you away. I don't like their blowing away score is like a 24-6. Like they're not going to put points on, but they're not going to let you score many either.
I don't know if they've really put teams away though. Like they put 30 odd on you guys in one half, and then just clocked off for a half. And
also, when I say put away, I don't mean on the scoreboard. I just don't think they. Once they've got a lead, they're starting to turn into a Melbourne-style team that once they're in front, if they keep their mind on it, they don't need to score more points. And but they're also not just set. Like, they'll take points if they're on offer, but they're not going to take undue risk in order to score points when they can just back the grind and the defense that they've been that's instilled in them this season.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm still not sold on the Sharks. They've had a very soft run. I don't think they've beaten anyone decent, really. They remind me of, they beat the Storm, but the Storm played like shit at that point. But I'm trying to think who they remind me of. There was a team, they remind me a bit of you guys last year. Like,
I was about really to say, Seagulls or the Sharks of last year, but we haven't beaten anyone in the top eight.
But they haven't knocked anyone off in their prime, right? Like, you guys couldn't beat anyone above yours. They beat the Cowboys when the Cowboys had seven people backing up or missing from Origin. Actually, I think they were all missing. They beat the Storm when the Storm were in the middle of their biggest slump in 10 seasons. They started okay against Penrith, but then Penrith just grinded them out of the game.
True.
I just don't think that they've got that next level in them to beat the best teams in their they beat South the other day, to be fair. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm just not sold on them.
Well, the game plan for Craig Fitzgibbon is going to be give the ball to their fullback. So as soon as the ball, as soon as the ball's in the hand of Dykes, that rules, what, seven players out of tackling him? So, that's unfair.
I don't know. I'm just mad, but we should have fucking beaten them the other week. I'm still mad about it. This simple Dragons shit. This is just Dragons hate just flowing out right now.
I'm more pissed at my club in that they haven't put any sanctions on the players for their try celebrations last week that I've seen. If you've missed all that sort of stuff, Manes Finau's been jailed until his full sentence comes out in October, I think. And three of the Manly players who were part of the seven wouldn't play with colour on their jersey, but were tough enough to put gang signs up after scoring tries last week. What that signifies isn't really what I want my club's players showcasing, that they'd support a, at this stage, convicted stabber, but they won't wear something on their jersey.
That's just religion picking and choosing when it's applicable, right?
Yeah. I'm at the point now, and those who've listened to the podcast for 2 years, I'm a huge Schuster fan. I'm getting to the point where cut ties, move on, get the next player in that's not going to be worth all this. Because, like, I love him and everything, but he's not generational sort of level. He's very, very good, very talented, but I don't want this shit happening every year. Roosters and Tigers. Oh, I didn't even look at the Manly odds. It's going to be huge, but Roosters and Tigers will be even bigger. There you go, $4.50 for the Seagulls, $1.20 for the Sharks. Roosters, $1.07. $1.07. $9 for the Tigers. For a positive for the Tigers, Mamalo's out, so Stafford Toa moves to centres and James Roberts drops out. Mamalo returns from knee injury and Stafford Toa moves to centres. Kiatoni Katuga is one to watch after being named in the reserves. As Kamali looks to bring more youngsters into the squad. The Roosters, Takiaho and Collins are both still sidelined. That's it. But Walls maybe heard a whisper that Tedesco may be rested.
Yeah, so my brother, he subscribes to like the Super Coach stuff, and he's in like a heap of the chats. And there's been apparently there's on SEN radio today. There's a whisper that Teddy might be getting rested, which would mean Joey Manu would play fullback, and then Oliver Gildart, who's fresh off five tries in reserve grade, would get a run against his former club that deemed him not good enough.
Oh, that'd be brilliant. Well, he's on loan, isn't he? He's coming back.
Is he? Well, I thought there was a rumor he was going to the Dolphins.
That could be another one. When you got superstars like Tower and Kapawa, you just
oof. And Brent Naden.
That's it. I think the Roosters have got this one. Yeah.
They've hit their form. They've hit. I think West will take a fair bit to recover from dropping last week's game. You know, they had the high beaten Brisbane and then they get done by Newcastle. Newcastle could not have been in any worse form. And was that a Leichhardt? Or was it at Newcastle?
No, the Tigers were at home. Wherever it was.
This is such a typical Tigers performance.
Dragons and Titans, 2 o'clock Sunday afternoon. Tino Fasamoali's back for the Titans. Tanner Boyd, AJ Brimson remain in the halves with Sexton in the reserves. For the Dragons, same 17. Sullivan still listed amongst the reserves as he looks to return from a shoulder injury, unlikely to come into the side. What are you guys playing for the rest of the season, and why aren't all the youngsters having their run now? In the same position as the Seagulls.
It looks like we're playing to keep Hook's job. That's what it feels like. I probably wouldn't have made mass changes, but I would have put Sloan on the wing for Moga, because Moga's just
Moga's Moga.
And then I would have dropped Mbai and put Max Fiene there, but he must be injured because he's not playing reserve grade either. So yeah, if I don't think we've got many other options at centre. So yeah, Mbai technically is contracted for next year. Whatever, he can stay there. Sullivan has to go to 14 on the bench.
Man, they can play centres. There you go.
He could, but I think he's another one that we're trying to get rid of. He just hasn't kicked on.
No.
We just got so many. Like, at the start of the year, it felt like we had so much depth, but we got plenty of depth, but no one's good. Like, no one's playing well. I'm so frustrated, right? Like, the last month or so, we've just been in every game, but we just make dumb decisions or dumb mistakes at vital times and just let teams, they don't even earn their way back into it. We just let them, the game against the Sharks, we fought to get back to 18-16, sorry. And then they just put up a normal end-over-end bomb, Tyrell Sloan drops it, they pick it up and score. Like, just simple shit like that. And
same Sloan against play last card. Week. I missed that.
No, it was 2 weeks ago against against the Sharks. He played 28 minutes off the bench.
What do you expect bringing a guy like that off the bench in his first, meant to be first full season, come off the bench 28 minutes to go? It's completely different situation than what he's played his entire career.
Yeah, and the week before that, he played 10 minutes off the bench and he touched the ball once in that 10 minutes because we just defended that entire time. I don't understand what we're trying to do.
Look, I'm picking him in my squad.
It just feels like it's just the Mary thing all over again, right? Like, last week we conceded 2 tries in the first 2 minutes of each half. Like, how was that even possible? Like, this shouldn't happen once in a game, let alone twice. We conceded a try for charge down, and then I can't remember. Oh, the other one was just poor defense. But other than that, like, we probably were the better team, but we just. It doesn't matter if you're the better team 60 minutes, if 20 minutes of it's absolute trash, because you're going to lose it in that 20 minutes.
You've got 3-try hero Amone.
Yeah, that was he played really well last week, which is good to see. I've been pretty critical of him this year, but looks like he's starting to get more involved, which is good, because the more involved he gets, my biggest criticism of him was he didn't get involved, and it was the same with Sloan. And because you can back if a young bloke's making mistakes, but it's because he's going after the game, you can cop that. And that's one thing I've loved about Cody Ramsey at the back is you never doubt his desire to compete in a game. Hopefully that's a good sign, and that's something. It was straight after he re-signed with the club as well. So hopefully it's just a good boost of confidence for him to finish the year. And to be fair, we've got a relatively soft draw to finish the year. So
Yeah,
You know,
well,
we've got a lot to play. We've got a lot to play for. Like Ben Hunt's three rounds away from winning a Dally M, and if we don't back him after the season he's had, that's just shit. Like,
well, talking about lots to play for, you got the Titans, same points as the Tigers, and they don't want another wooden spoon. And I'd said before going into the Manly game that they've been in games, like they were in the game against Melbourne until the last, what, 12, 16 minutes. And they didn't let Manly in the game last week. And we always know there's points in them. And they didn't keep, they still, Manly still put 24 on them, but they put on 44 kind of thing. And
yeah,
I think they finally found a little bit of balance in the back line. I think Jojo Fifita's made a huge impact since he's come in and just locked down a wing position. They seem to rotate wingers and centers almost constantly. Brimson's looked good with Tanner Boyd there. And the forwards bringing Fassam Awali back in. Fifita hasn't been as involved as you want, but every time he does, his impact
he
is
was,
quite...
He played his best game of the season last week.
Last week,
he was
really good. Both Fermor's continuing and Isaac Liu. And I love their bench makeup. McIntyre, Fodawaker, SA. And then Marju, he's got the size to be able to play even on edge if you need him to. He's just so solid,
is
so well built.
Is Jared Wallace playing or not?
Reserves. So he only came in late last week as well.
Because Tino was out, yeah. But if Jared Wallace is playing, get on him to score a try. I think he scored three tries in his last two games against us.
I'm going to go Titans in this one, actually.
Yeah, me too.
I think the desire of not getting the wooden spoon is probably more than the Dragons have to get to the finals when they have a look at what the ladder looks like.
Yeah, and just the I have a feeling this is going to be a high-scoring affair, and we don't win those games. Like we're a team that has
that.
To get. We'd have to get in front and then grind and just play at the back of Ben Hunt kitchen game. And I don't think that's going to happen against the Titans.
And then an absolute barn burner to finish the round. Knights versus Raiders in Newcastle. I can pretty much say I won't be watching this game. I'll find something to do on Sunday afternoon.
Well, you're not going to... Mate, it's the warm-up game for the...
Oh, yeah, that's true. It's the warm-up game. I'll watch the second game of this one.
Yeah.
Edric Lee set to return for a foot injury. And Christian Mapapalangi will make his NRL debut at centre. That's something worth looking out for, I guess. Dave Clemenee should be back on deck. Joseph Tarpany is back in the front row. So Emery Goulart goes to the bench. Ryan Sutton drops the reserves. Tarpany expected to play despite a rib injury as the Raiders play for their finals hopes. Ricky Stewart will be back on track as a late inclusion. Every time I look at the Raiders, I just like look at that squad. I'm like, how do they lose so many games? They just run over and through people with that forward pack, and it just doesn't happen. This is going to sound so bad, man. I'm like, I don't care.
Everything tells you Canberra, right? But then how many times have you seen Canberra drop these games?
I know. I know.
They did that, like they weren't that good against us last week, and by rights we could have had a chance to take it into Golden Point at the end. You know, we were robbed. Canberra wouldn't understand.
Yeah.
but yeah, this is, to be fair, Tarpanay back in is massive, but
he cost me my fantasy football season. So I traded him in and he got injured 20 minutes in, and then my finances were fucked. And
yeah. He's back this week, though, mate.
Yeah, I'm out. I lost back to back in the finals.
I would think that Canberra should towel him up here, but you know, who knows? Like it's been a tumultuous week too for the Knights. Like they're either going to roll over and get 40 put on them, or they'll bind together and come out and win. But
do their best.
Be 6 minutes late for a team bus. Yeah, I don't know. They're a basket case.
I'm
they're,
going
they're
Canberra.
Going,
they,
they're almost back to their days of three wooden spoons. It honestly feels like it this season. It just...
How close are they? Is there a chance? There's a chance. They're only two wins above the Titans and the Tigers.
Well, Titans and Tigers play us on the way home, and we are known to lose a lot of games to finish the season.
Oof. Wonder what the Knights have got.
Anyways, Jared's behalf. This leads me into my next pick for the week.
Oh, you got less than a minute, so.
Yep. All right. Yeah. So I've got Bo Fermor anytime.
Yeah.
To Hudson Young anytime.
Yeah.
$14.72 odds. I'll chuck $10 on that.
$14.72. Brilliant.
Just have a look. $147.20.
$14.72. Hudson Young. Bo Fermor. I actually really like that. Any times. And just so you know, Knights have Raiders and then Titans. So if Titans win this week, Knights lose, there'll be a 2-point difference, and then Titans versus Knights out on the Gold Coast. And then they've got the Sharks last.
Wouldn't you love to say it?
Tigers will need to win two out of their last three.
Thank you for tuning in to Six Again. Connect with the show on Twitter, Instagram, and the Six Again website. All links via the show's bio.